Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Warehouse Foursquare Church in Astatula, Florida. Here at the Warehouse, we believe that the Word of God is much more than just information. It's been given to us for transformation. So take the next few moments as you listen to this message and receive what God has for you today.
1 Peter 2 and verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his what? Everybody help me out. Into his marvelous light. Say, I am part of a chosen generation. That is good to know. I want to take for our subject this morning, God's chosen generation. Each person has a place and has a purpose. Each one of us has a God-ordained work to do. And I am so thrilled about that. We see so many places in Scripture where people have God-ordained places, places where he has put them for specific tasks. A beautiful story about Esther, Esther 4 and 14. At this point, Mordecai had come to Esther and he said, you know what, a decree has gone out and all the Jews are going to be killed. And this was a bad thing. I mean, if you're on the chopping block, then it's a bad thing. And so the Bible says this, Mordecai said to Esther, he said, for if thou altogether hold thy peace at this time, then there shall be enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? What was he saying? Esther, you have a place and you have a purpose. And your place is here and your time is now. And your purpose is to help save your people. We're no different, for God himself has placed us here with a specific purpose in mind. And I am so pleased to know that I am not a mistake. Regardless of what folk may think, regardless of what folk may say, regardless of what people may do, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, not just because I see it in the Word, but I feel it in my heart. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I am not a mistake. It is not a haphazard happening that I just showed up on earth one day. And you're the same. You're not a mistake. But we have a place and we have a preordained purpose that God has placed upon each and every one of us. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm special. Say that. Oh, come on. Say it like you mean it. I'm special. Ain't nobody like you. There's only one copy. Hallelujah. There's only one, baby, and you're it. The scripture bears this out in 1 Corinthians 12. In 18, but now God has set the members, every one of them in the body, as it has pleased him. It may not please you, but it pleases God that this old boy is here. It pleases God that you are here because he's placed you as a member in the body of Christ. Amen? Now, as a Christian, we are the body of Christ and members in particular, each having a purpose. And so as we broaden our perspective today in the context of our message, that we have a place in the body of Christ, and this particular body is known as the Astatula Worship Center. We belong to this particular part of the body of Christ. We broaden it even bigger than that, and we belong to the family of the Foursquare, a family. It's worldwide, some 50,000 churches all over. We belong to a bigger family. And if we broaden our scope even more than that, the Foursquare family belongs to a worldwide body of believers. Can you say amen? And that worldwide body of Christ has a specific place also and a specific purpose that we are to do on the earth right now. The body of Christ is not on the earth because we didn't have any other place to go. All the other planets were full, and so God decided, well, I guess I'll stick them over on there. Each generation has a specific purpose. Back to our text, 1 Peter 2 and 9. This is what it starts out with. That we are a chosen generation, or we are a chosen family. A generation, the dictionary says, is a group of contemporaries. It's all of the people who were born at approximately the same time, considered a group, and especially when considered as having shared interests and attitudes. For the sake of our message today, the generation that I want to deal with is the generation that's on the earth today known as the family of God, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as I was looking through this, one of the things that I noticed was each generation has a specific calling upon them. It makes sense because each person has a calling. Why wouldn't it go bigger to the family of God? To set certain things in order, to do certain things in the earth at that time. And so each generation has a preordained calling that the Lord has called them to do. And that entire generation bears the load of that calling. Not just one group of people here and maybe one group of people over there, but the entire generation, the entire body of believers is responsible for that calling that God has placed upon them for that particular time that they are on the earth. Can you say amen? Also, that generation will reap the benefits or the cursings of the obedience or disobedience of that generation. And so as we look through Scripture, we find that there's many similarities, certain ways that God Himself has dealt with each and every generation. And so the first one that I want to talk about is number one, there's always been a word from the Lord for each generation. There's always been specific instructions in order for them to fulfill God's purpose for them on the earth. Aren't you happy for that? I remember when them clocks first come out and they had calculators on them, the wrist, and they had compasses and all whatever else, all kinds of stuff on them. And there was only two or three buttons. Well, how do I get that calculator to work? And you start pressing buttons. Next thing you know, the thing just quit on you. Well, what'd I do? Aren't you glad for instructions? Aren't you glad, fathers, moms, that toys come with assembly instructions? I remember Kelly got for Christmas. Her family hates me. And this is how I know. My wife's family I'm talking about. One of the toys that she got was this little train. It was like a little train. You remember it? Yeah. It was a little plastic train. And it was just right. She could sit on it. And at the house that we was living in, we had a long hallway. And it kind of connected through the whole thing. And so we had rug kind of. It was just like this, except it was a light brown color. And so she could get on that train. That little train is about this long. And she could scoot along 90 miles an hour up and down that hallway. Up and down that hallway. Well, that wasn't so bad as to the fact that every time that wheel made a rotation, there was the air diaphragm inside that was hooked to a whistle. And that axle was hooked to that diaphragm. And every time a rotation was made, woo, 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 woo. Well, I put up with that until her family left. I disassembled that little train and I yanked that diaphragm out of there so that now she could ride it and I don't hear the woo, woo, woo. Aren't you glad toys come with assembly instructions? Do you know our life comes with instructions? Every generation has a word from the Lord in order for them to successfully complete their mission on the earth. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Amen? The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2 and 15 through 17, and the Lord took the man and he put him in the Garden of Eden and told him to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Adam's generation was given a word. This is what he was to do. He was to replenish the earth. He was to dress and keep the garden. And all he had to do was stay away from one tree. That was his word. You skip through scripture and you find that the Bible says to Isaiah in Isaiah 58 and 12, your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations, and you will be called repairer of the broken walls and restorer of the streets with dwellings. Jesus told the New Testament believers in Luke, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power. He told them in Mark to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said in Matthew 28, make sure that you go through all the earth and make disciples and teach them how to follow me. That was the word for them, and it is also our word for today. Each generation has had a word from the Lord. I can't find throughout scripture when the Lord called a people and did not give them instructions on what they should do. And I'm glad for that. I'm glad that I am not haphazardly placed with no focus, with no purpose, with no idea what in the world I'm going through. I walk through that door, the first thing I see is my purpose is restoring people, spirit, soul, and body. And I thank the Lord that I have a place in Christ. Can you say amen? As the Astatula Worship Center, and as part of the global body of believers, we also need to hear a word from the Lord. We need to create an atmosphere to which every time we gather together, we hear from the Lord, because we desperately need our instructions. Amen. The Bible says how good is a timely word. And I would like to say, especially when it comes from God Himself, we must be hungry to hear from God. Some of your stomachs are growling right now, and you're beginning to make plans to what you're going to do on the way home. I'm sure chicken is involved when it's talking about Collins. There's got to be a chicken leg somewhere in that plan. I'm sure of it. And when that stomach starts to growl, and all of a sudden everything else starts to fade away, because we want to take care of our flesh. But how much more when our spirit man is saying, I need more of the Word of God. I need more. I need to hear from the Lord today. We know what something's coming up tomorrow. Like Dad said, we're trouble on every side. But I thank the Lord that we are not distressed. We may be perplexed, but we are not cast down. Hallelujah. We can hear a word from the Lord. And as we hear, we need to move. We need a word from the Lord for our church as part of the global body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must be so hungry that nothing distracts us from hearing from the Lord. I believe that there is constantly a word from the Lord. I know that sometimes it seems like we can't pray through. And I understand that there's times when it seems as though it's just like we're in our own bubble and nobody can hear us. But I have to stand upon the Word of God. When the Bible says that He hears His children when they call out to Him, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, even though I may not feel like He's listening, the Word tells me that He is. And I can take my faith and I can say, Lord, I may not feel You. I may not understand where You are, but I know that You're right here with me, and You're going to help me, and You're going to meet the needs, and I can get instruction from You. So there's always been a word from the Lord to successfully accomplish His will for each generation. Number two, there's always been a leader. In each generation, there have been those who have either heard the word of the Lord and rallied the troops themselves, or they've heard it from someone else. A prophet would come to them and would say, thus saith the Lord. And they would rally the troops. Every group has a leader in it. I'm pretty convinced of that. It's like the cream back on the farm. I remember years and years ago, maybe you don't remember those days, but I remember years and years ago, there was a farm and we lived in Maine about 5-6 miles. Every so often, I'd go with Dad and get milk. It was just a big thing. And he just had a tin there for the money, for the, you know. And there, I'd look and there'd be money in there and I'm thinking, man, what could I buy with that? But it wasn't my money and I know Dad slapped me if I took it. But you just walk in, and I looked one time in there, and I saw this arm, and it was on this rod, and it was constantly stirring. Why was it constantly stirring? Because that cream, see, would rise to the top. Leaders always rise to the top. Some folk don't like that, but it's just reality. When leadership needs to be, leaders rise to the occasion. That's why they're leaders. If it was up to me to make the bed at the house, it would never be made. If you put me in charge of making sure everyone's bed was made in the church, guess what? You're all off the hook forever. Because it ain't going to happen. I don't like making beds. I love sleeping in them. But I don't like making beds. So I don't do it. Every so often, if I want my wife to be real nice to me, I will. But I have an ulterior motive. But leaders are always rising to the top. I remember Paul, he was saying, follow me as I follow Christ. I remember the Bible talks about Abraham when he heard a word from the Lord and he led his family out of their situation into a place where he didn't even know. And all generations from that point on would be blessed because of his obedience and God's will to bless his people. Moses heard a word from the Lord and led Israel out of Egypt's bondage. Do you remember Joshua when Moses was on the mountain and he looked over and the Bible says his eyes were strong and he could see. He was, what, 120? And it was like he was 50 years old. But yet he could not enter in. But the Lord had another man that could lead them into the promised land. His name was Joshua. You see, each generation has a leader that will rise up. Do you remember Josiah? He heard a word from the Lord and he led his generation back into holiness before God. Jesus himself, who was the Word, he became flesh and he dwelt among us. And the Bible says that he fulfilled his own prophetic utterance and brought redemption to mankind, and he changed the world forever. Always a leader, always rising to the top. Always, always. Every generation has had leaders who would stand in the gap and they'd face hell and high water, and they would say, I have a word from the Lord. And do you know something? God is still looking for leaders today who will stand and say, follow me as I follow Christ. Acts 13 and 36, for when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. What a testimony to fulfill your purpose in your generation and then be taken. May that be said of every one of us. They fulfilled their godly purpose on earth and then they were taken. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. So number one, there's always been a word from God for each generation. Number two, there's always a leader. Number three, each generation must either build on the foundation of the previous generation or tear it down. Each generation that we can see through Scripture and even in our own families, there's good and there's bad. There's good things that have been passed down, but there's also bad things that have been passed down. They say, well, you know, something about our genetics. And, well, we're predisposed to heart attacks, or we're predisposed to cancer. It come down through the family line. See, that's a bad thing. Some of the good things is everybody in my family is skinny. And so hopefully I'll be skinny. You know what I'm saying? That's a good thing, right? You understand what I'm saying? There's good things and there's also bad things. And so it's up to us to take those good things and either build on it and continue on, or to take those bad things and to say, enough is enough. I'm drawing a line in the sand and this is no more. In 2 Kings, starting in the 22nd chapter, I mentioned Josiah just a few minutes ago. There's a story of Josiah, and you can read through because it's two or three or four chapters there about him and about what happened during his reign as king of Judah. Well, his father and his grandfather were both, the Bible says, wicked men, because they didn't have a heart after God. They didn't follow after him. They followed after bad things. And so Josiah, when he was put in the kingdom, king of Judah at 8 years old. Can you imagine being eight? How old is this young man right here? He's 7 and a half. In just a few months, could you imagine him being president of America? Some of these stories we just read through when we pass over, I'm like, eh. But can you imagine that young man being president of the United States, and what he's in even more? Because back then, if he said, hey, you're ugly and I don't like you, off with your head. Can you imagine? So you always let him beat in checkers. And so the Bible says in the 18th year, which would make Josiah, about 26 years old, he told his boys, he said, go up to the temple and get the money and find out what's going on and check everything out, make sure it's all well. So the Bible says that they went up to the temple and the priest at the temple says, I have found the book of the law. I have found a word from the Lord. And so they took the book back to Josiah, and they read the whole book to Josiah. And here's what he said, 2 Kings 22:10. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. Notice his response. And it came to pass when the king heard the words of the book of the law, he rent his clothes. And this is what he said in verse 13. Go and inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah. Not just for him. Not just for his family. But I'm talking about a leader of a generation, of a group of people. He said, pray for us and inquire of the Lord concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according unto all that which is written concerning us. Because Josiah heard the word and he did what God told him, Judah was saved. Can you imagine? And so what did he do? He went out and he tore down every abomination against the Lord Jehovah that his father and his grandfather had built. And he killed the false prophets and the teachers. You read it. You go down through those next chapters. And all the false teachers. And in 2 Kings 23:1, and the king sent and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king went up. I'm talking about a leader. This is a 26-year-old man. And he went up into the house of the Lord and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in the ears of all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. That'll preach right there. Can you say amen? And the king stood by a pillar, and he made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his testimonies and to keep his commandments and his statutes with all their heart and with all their soul and to perform the words of this covenant that were written in the book. And all the people stood in the covenant. Josiah had to rid the kingdom of all the things that his father and that his grandfather had established that were wrong in order for blessing to come back into the kingdom. We need a church full of folk who will say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I don't care if your best friend is doing it. I don't care if your buddy Joe is doing it. I don't care if your grandmammy did it. We are not going to do that in the house of the Lord. The buck stops here because we need the blessing of the Lord. The Lord is still looking for people who will do the kingdom's business. Look at Solomon. Started out great. His heart was in the right place. He followed after God and he built a temple. His heart was like his father David. And even though he ended up in a wrong place, it wasn't because he didn't have the opportunity to do right. Which leads us into our last point today. Number 4. It is the responsibility of the previous generation to help prepare the next generation for their calling. Take every opportunity that you have to make a smooth road for the next generation to do God's bidding. Well, I ate saltines and potato chips, and every so often we'd have ketchup, and we never had electricity, so bless God, they ain't either. Don't leave your mess for the next generation to have to sort through before they can even worry about the calling that's on their life. But make a way for them to successfully do God's bidding. Give them something good to build on. Give them a solid foundation. I have found that because God doesn't work in time, He's not constrained by time, even though we are. God works in seasons. It's because of that, His plan many times is carried throughout more than just one generation. So what God birthed in your heart, the vision that you have, the things that God has placed inside of you. It may be the case that you cannot complete it by yourself, but the next generation is to pick it up and to complete the work. And so it's important that we, as a body of believers, as the family of God, not only in this church, but as the worldwide believers, we need to make sure that our foundation is solid, that they have something good to build upon, that we've torn down the old ways, and we have torn down the things that would separate us from God, and we have established a clean and a smooth and a holy and a righteous road for them to walk in. There's no gray areas. They know this is what we need to do in our house, like Dad's house, like my granddaddy's house, like my great-granddaddy's house. We will serve the Lord. We need a foundation like that. Bless the name of the Lord. David desperately wanted to build a house for the Lord. He wanted to build a temple for the Lord God. Listen to the desire. Listen to his emotion as he writes in Psalm 132, verse 1. Jehovah, remember for David all his affliction, how he swore unto Jehovah and vowed unto the mighty one of Jacob, surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed, and I will not give sleep to mine eyes, nor slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for Jehovah, a tabernacle for the mighty one of Jacob. That's how strong his desire was to build a temple for the Lord. He knew that was God's will. But yet notice in 1 Chronicles 22, David said, the house of the Lord of God is to be here. He knew the place. He knew it was to be so, and he knew the place. And also the altar of burnt offering for Israel. You know, this may not seem like a big thing, but what are they fighting over today? The Temple Mount, where the temple was. This is a big thing. This is huge. This divides the world. And so he said, this is the place. And also the altar of burnt offering for Israel. And so David gave orders to assemble the aliens living in Israel. And from among them he appointed stone cutters to prepare dressed stone for the building of the house of God. And he provided a large amount of iron to make nails for the doors and the gateways and for fittings, and bronze more that could be weighed. Can you imagine? And he provided more cedar logs than could be counted. For the Sidonians and the Tyrians had brought large numbers of them to David. And David said, my son is young and inexperienced, and the house to be built for the Lord should be of great magnificence and fame and splendor in the sight of all the nations. Therefore will I make preparations for it. Talking about one generation preparing the way for the next. So David made extensive preparations before his death. And then he called Solomon. And he charged him to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. And David said to Solomon, my son, I had it in my heart to build a house for the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me and said, you have shed much blood and have fought many wars, and you are not able to build a house for my name because you have shed much blood. But you will have a son who will be a man of peace and rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies. And his name will be called Solomon, and I will grant peace and quiet during his reign. And he is the one who will build a house for my name, and he will be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom of Israel forever. And then in verse 11, notice what David says over Solomon in front of the nation. Greatest king that ever walked the face of the earth besides Jesus, David. He says over his son in front of everyone. Verse 11, now my son, the Lord be with you. Talk about a man after God's heart. Bible says the Lord knows the plans that he has for you. Plans for you to prosper and to give you a hope. Talk about a man after God's own heart. He said, my son, the Lord be with you, and may you have success and build the house of the Lord your God as he said you would. May the Lord give you discretion and understanding when he puts you in command over Israel, so that you may keep the law of your God. And then you will have success if you are careful to observe the decrees and the laws that the Lord gave Moses for Israel. Be strong and courageous, and do not be afraid nor discouraged. David, not only made extensive preparations, but he also spoke blessing over his son. He also prepared a way, not only with the physical realm, but with his words, he provided a future for Solomon to do God's will and to be successful in it. You tell your babies they're stupid all the time. You're cursing them. Let David be our example as we bless our children, for they will be the ones that carry on. In 100 years, none of us will be here. We'll all be gone, but there'll be a generation after us, and they will be carrying on God's work, for they'll have a calling upon their lives just like we did. And we need to do our very best to make extensive preparations for God's work to continue on, so that the word will go out and the people will hear that there is a Savior, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is up to us to speak over them blessing and not cursing, and make sure that they are a success in their walk with Christ. Bless the name of the Lord. Prepare them for the work to be done. Sow into them wisdom and understanding. Talk to them and teach them the word. Notice what David said. He said, if you keep the law, then you will have success. If you will do the things that God has told through Moses, then you will have great success in the kingdom. Even though Solomon decided not to walk in the ways of his father, that did not negate the fact that his father did everything that he could to see to it that God's will was done in Solomon's life. We need to do the same.
Hey, just wanted to say thanks for listening to the message today. If you'd like more teaching or information about The Warehouse, you can go to our website at twfcastatula.org. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart, pray this simple prayer with me. Dear God in heaven, forgive me for my sins. Come into my heart. I accept Jesus as my Savior. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to say welcome to the family of God. And make sure you go to our website, get our contact info, and email us or call us. We want to send you a Bible, some information about your new life in Christ, and what you need to do next. We also want to help you find a church where you can get plugged into and grow in Christ. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you, and may he give you his peace.